Passover by Victor Paul Wirwell. This book is unparalleled in light of the integrity and accuracy of God's Word that's in here that teaches about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He did to bring forth the new birth realities that we have today. My goodness, you know, that's the most important thing that any man or woman could ever, ever know is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that they can get born again of God's Spirit, so they can get out of eternal death to eternal life. And I'll tell you what, this is an outstanding resource for that. I was just thinking about other materials that might be available, you know, other books, and I'm sure there are many books about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His death and resurrection. And I was thinking about years ago, when I was in high school, I lived in Washington, D.C. area. And I always, as a senior, I always enjoyed going up to the Capitol. I'd drive up there by myself, and I was fascinated about our government and Congress. And I'd go check out both houses, Senate, House of Representatives, and I went to the Library of Congress. And supposedly they have all the books in the world, you know, ever published about anything. And at that time, it was available to get back into the stacks. Now, do you know what I mean when I say to get into the stacks? You know, Jan knows, some of you might know. Used to be in the libraries, if you wanted a certain book, I mean, they didn't have them on the shelves out front where you could walk up and get it. You know, they had to store them all over the place. And they called that the stacks. And the Library of Congress, you know, behind closed doors, has all kinds of books. And I went back there trying to see what was available about this subject, Jesus Christ and what He did, His death and resurrection. And there were hundreds and hundreds of books. I would check them out a little, not all of them, obviously. But nothing came close to communicating the integrity and accuracy of God's Word like this book. So if you don't have this, get it. And if we run out, we're going to get a bunch more. Okay? So I'm going to be talking about Jesus Christ today. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to share with you an aspect of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you didn't know this, or if you did, maybe you haven't thought about it lately. And this is Jesus Christ, our high priest. Jesus Christ, our high priest. You know, the more we know about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the more we can walk in manifesting the greatness of Christ in you. Colossians 1:27 says, it's Christ in you, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, Christ in me, what does that mean? Who is Christ? What does that entail? The more you know about Christ, what He's made available, what He represents, the more you can manifest that Christ in you. So we're going to take a look at this in one aspect specifically, and that's Jesus Christ, our high priest. Okay? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you have God's Spirit in you, if you're born again of God's Spirit, you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you are saved. You are born again of God's Spirit. You have the Spirit within you. And of course, with that Spirit in you, you have the privilege to operate manifestations of the Spirit, one of them being speaking in tongues. A unique manifestation that God instituted on the day of Pentecost. Never before was such a manifestation available to mankind. But on the day of Pentecost, God did something so unique to introduce the fullness of the new birth. That was speaking in tongues. Because when they spoke in tongues, they knew they had the Spirit in them, didn't they? Man, oh man, speaking in tongues is so great. Now, you got the Spirit in you, you got Christ in you, and what does this word say in light of having the Spirit in you? Let's read on. Verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption." The King James says adoption. Better translation is sonship, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." And that word Abba is a very intimate term. It's like what we would say, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." You know, that's how intimate the relationship can be. That's what God wants us to feel about Him, that He is our Daddy. Okay? So we're sons of God, all right? So we've got the Spirit in us. We've got Christ in us. So one of those great aspects is we're sons of God. We're sons of God. Is that okay with you? I mean, some people, you know, wouldn't mind to be a servant of God or something, or a second cousin of God, or I don't know. But sons of God, man. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God. Man, oh man, heirs of God. That is true. That's what the Word of God says. We're heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. We share in all the greatness that God has available for us and Him together. Wow. If you didn't know this, then, and you heard, "Well, I've got Christ in me," but you didn't know that you're a son of God, you're joint heir with Christ, then you really couldn't walk like that, could you? You really couldn't manifest, because you don't know. It's not a, you got to know. Right? So isn't it wonderful to see the reality of God's Word, that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ? Man, oh man, see, the more we know about who Christ is, the more we're going to know about ourselves, because we're a new creation in Christ, right? We're a new creation in Christ. So the more we know about Christ, the more we're going to know about ourselves. I mean, think about it. It's so simple. The more you know somebody, you get married, right? And guys, isn't it interesting? You learn all kinds of new things about your spouse as time goes on. It's an unending pleasure. Right, gentlemen? To learn more and more of our wonderful... Right? Okay? Yeah, okay. I'm getting an affirmation for you on the... listening to this on the... CDs, all the guys said yes, yes. I think about Jan Majera. When she first moved here, I didn't know anything about her, really. And, a few weeks went by, and I heard she was pretty good in Aramaic. You know, she knew Aramaic. Wow, that's neat, you know, because if I have some questions or looking at the scriptures, and maybe she could help me. Later on, I found she wrote a book, a translation, the New Testament in Aramaic. I mean, man, oh man, what a great resource. Later on, I found out she plays the piano. Wow. So now knowing that, I can ask her to play the piano to bless us and stuff. The more you know about Christ in you, the more you can walk manifesting that Christ in you. Isn't that great? Pretty neat. Pretty neat. Well, who is Jesus Christ? I put together a little list here. And what does God's Word say about Jesus Christ? He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 4:6. He is our Passover, right? 1 Corinthians 5:7. He is the Lamb of God. John 1:29. He is our Redeemer, Galatians 3:13. A Redeemer is one who pays the price, right? He has paid that price for us to be a possession of God Almighty. He is our hope of glory. He is our mediator. He's our advocate. He's the propitiation for our sins. He is the light of the world. He is the author and finisher of faith. Man, oh man, He is the Prince of Peace. He is the rock. He's the head of the body. I mean, all these things, it goes on. He is also our healer. He has given us the authority to use His name to bring healing and deliverance to anybody who believes. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. That authority of that name can bring tremendous deliverance. But if I didn't know that I could use the name of Jesus Christ, somebody comes to me and has a need, but I didn't know you could use the name of Jesus Christ, then I couldn't help that person. I mean, I could do the best I could. But now that I know that I have that authority to use that name, then I can use it. If I believe, right? If I have the boldness to step out and use it, then look out. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed. So, man, isn't it great to know who we are in Christ? Man, oh man, there's Philippians 4:13 says what? All through Christ strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, all things. So that's why we want to know all about Jesus Christ. Now, today I'm going to focus in on Jesus Christ being our high priest and the significance of that in light of, you know, what's the practicality of that? Okay, He's our high priest. So what does that mean for me? So that's my goal, is to share that. But we're going to look into the Word and see God's Word fit so wonderfully to see Jesus Christ, our high priest. You know, this is the Easter season, isn't it? You know, besides bunnies and eggs and things like that, maybe people will talk about our Lord and Savior and His death and His resurrection and is the significance of that. I hope so. And there's a great significance in that He's our high priest as well. He was our perfect sacrifice. And we're going to see a little bit of that. And He was also the perfect high priest to bring forth that sacrifice to God Almighty. This is going to be neat in God's Word. If you have interest to see God's Word fit, I trust this will bless you. 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. We've got to look at this to see God's Word telling us that He is our Redeemer, that He is that perfect sacrifice. 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is how they would cover their sins. The people would cover their sins by taking the lamb of the first year, kill it, take that blood, and they would take the best, most perfect lamb, kill it, bring that blood in the high priest once a year to the Holy of Holies and bring this blood. That was the redemption. That was the payment to cover the sins for 1 year. Now, we in our society, in our world, kind of think, that's kind of weird, huh? But this is what God set up until He could redeem mankind once and for all by way of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, verse 19, a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That your believing, your hope might be in God. Wow. Perfect sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ was that perfect sacrifice. Now let's look at the office of a high priest who took that blood. He had specific things that he had to do. Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Right before Peter there. Chapter 9. We're going to look at the function of the high priest. In verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Initially, there was this tent, big tent, and only the priest would go into that tent. But inside that tent was this other tent. That was the Holy of Holies. Okay? God was in there. Nobody goes in there except the high priest once a year. So the priests are in there in this first tent, but only this one guy could go into the inner one. That's what this is talking about. Okay? Verse 4, which had the golden censer. A censer is an item that holds the incense. And the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. You know, the Ten Commandments, you know, the law. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. And that's just Old English in detail. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. So those folks that were priests, they went into that first tent, did their thing, but into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered. You know, it's interesting, it doesn't say he went in there with blood, but there's an emphasis. He went in there not without blood. He better have that, of all things. Not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Okay? So this is what he did. This is the office of the high priest. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Go to chapter 3, but I did want to show you something in light of the significance of the shed blood. Why is that the medium by which payment could be done? 9:22 in Hebrews. So take a, jump back there, and then we'll come back to Hebrews 3. This one verse. 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with what? Blood. And without shedding of blood is what? No remission, no payment. Okay, so that was it. They had to shed that blood. That's how they did it. Okay, Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to see that Jesus Christ was the high priest. Chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The word profession should really be translated confession. Now, that's who we confess. And so it says here that Jesus Christ was an apostle and what? High priest. High priest. He was the high priest. Verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Okay, let's go to chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. And let's jump down to verse 4. And no man taketh dishonor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now, who was Aaron? Moses' brother. And I think it was elder brother. I'm pretty sure that is it. And he was the first high priest. Remember, he was a spokesman for Moses. And he was that first high priest. Verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so now he's a high priest, but now he, after what order? Melchizedek. Okay, who's that guy? What is this thing? So now we got to take a look at who this Melchizedek is. All right? So this is what, let me give you a little synopsis here, and then we'll go to Hebrews 6. So you're probably right there anyway, Hebrews 6. But Aaron was that first priest, all right? And then, you know, the children of Israel, there were 12 tribes, right? One of the tribes was chosen to do the priestly duties. What tribe was that? The Levites. They didn't pay tithes. They didn't have to do that kind of thing. They did the work, the services within the temple. The priest and the high priest came out of the Levi group, okay? And also, there is this Melchizedek. Let's take a look at that. Chapter 6, verse 20. 6:20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay? For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. And this unique priest here, Jesus Christ, was after that order. Now, he mentions about Abraham, okay? Keep your finger in Hebrews, go to Genesis, and let's take a look at that record, chapter 14 in Genesis, about Melchizedek, when he came out after Abraham's success on the battlefield. Chapter 14, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Pretty unique here. You know, there's not a whole bunch about this person. All that I know is what I'm reading to you out of the Word, but pretty unique. And that Jesus Christ would come after this unique order. Bullinger in his Bible explains, Bullinger was a great student of the Word, a great, great teacher. And in his companion Bible, he mentions about Melchizedek. His genealogy is not recorded, so essentially in the case of Aaron's sons, ordinary priests began their service at 30 and ended at 50 years of age. The high priest succeeded on the day of his predecessor's decease. Melchizedek has no such dates recorded. He had neither beginning of days nor end of life. We only know that he lived, and thus he is a fitting type of the one who lives continually. I tell you, the more depth you dig the word, the greater you see it fit. And I don't know about you, but if this is the word of life, and this is going to teach me, you know, what is true about eternal life, it better fit. It better make sense. I'm not going to go by blind faith. And that's why I love to see God's word fit so wonderfully. It just strengthens my resolve in believing the word more and more. Amazing, the details here. And there's something else. Maybe some of you could check it out. But what else did Melchizedek bring to Abraham? Bread? Wine. What do we use bread and wine for? Communion. Now, I'm not going to go anywhere with that. But there's got to be significance in that. Pretty amazing. All right, let's go to chapter 7 in Hebrews. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils, the tithe. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Let's jump over, this goes on, but let's jump over to verse 15. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made not after the law of the carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Who's that? Man, oh man. Amazing how this stuff fits. God Almighty set up our Lord and Savior not only to be that perfect sacrifice, that precious blood that would be shed, his blood without sin, but he also set him up to be the perfect high priest that would go in and bring his blood to his Father. I mean, I don't know how you picture that in your mind, but man, oh man, he did it all. Jesus Christ did it all. And it just blows my mind. Now, what does this mean to us? I mean, this is kind of neat to see how this fits and have knowledge and background and how this all comes together. But let's look at it from a practical sense. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And that italicized words are properly added to give the essence of what's being communicated there. We are sanctified. What does that mean? We are set apart special. You know, it's just like that china. You know, you ladies have your very best china. So do you just put it out on the kitchen sink and the counter and let everybody use it? No. Put it in that beautiful china chest, you know, with the lights on, and here's my beautiful china. Sanctified. That's who we are. God has set us apart special. Now, if God thinks you're special, how do you think yourself should be? Special? Yeah. We are special. We're sanctified. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You know, and when you understand that Jesus Christ did the perfect will of the Father and it was his precious blood, then yeah, that makes sense to me. I'll buy that. I'll believe that. And every priest, verse 11, standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. You know, really, when they think about it, what is this blood of sacrifices doing this thing? Can it really take away sins? Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Where is he? Right hand of God. Where are we in Christ? Right hand of God. You're right there with the Heavenly Father. You're right there with the Heavenly Father. You don't have to seek very far where God is. Oh, right hand of the Father, he's probably here. Right, okay, hey, he's right there. Our Father is right there. For henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are you perfected forever? Yes. Yes, I don't care what your boss says, he thinks you're no good. What your uncle says, what anybody else says, God says you're pretty neat. You are tremendous. Wow. That just, we're sanctified, set apart. You and I, set apart special for God. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The word boldness there is the word that means free to speak. Just open to talk. You know, you ever go into these, you know, big churches, you know, they're a big old famous church, let's say, and you go in and you got to be real quiet. Oh, there's the special seat of the Pope or whatever, and hey, God's Word says we go before God and speak with boldness. Why? Because we're sanctified, we're set apart, we're special. What did you hear in the manifestations this morning? God was just imploring us, come talk to me, come, I love you. Didn't he say that in the manifestations? Wow. Man, oh man. Verse 19. We got boldness by the new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. There was a veil blocking off that Holy of Holies, and remember, it split in half. Remember? That's why, you know these details of the Word, and it just lives. It lives. Okay. His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith or believing. Man, we have full assurance. We can. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession. And that's that word again, confession. Confession of our faith. The word faith there happens to be the word hope. Hope. We have a hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Let us consider one another to provoke. To provoke. Now, boy, oh boy, in my family, my brother, older brother, he provoked me a lot. Kidding me, jabbing me, you know, trying to get me to fight with him, and then he'd beat me up. Provoke what? Unto love. Unto love and good works. So what should we be provoking each other? Walk in love, to love each other. Man, do good stuff. That's the great practical application here. Let us draw near with a true heart and heart. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Let me say this. This talks about don't forsake the assembling of people together. I better watch myself. When believers get together, it's the greatest thing in the whole world, isn't it? I know it's neat to read the Word by yourself, but to have a fellowship one with another. That's why our fellowships are so vital. Of all the things that are going on in one week, a fellowship on Sunday, a fellowship Wednesday night. Boy, if there's another fellowship, we might think, oh my golly, I'm going to get too religious. That's too much. No! No, it's not. Man, the believers should be getting together all the time. I remember we used to get together every night. Now, I was younger, I wasn't married, and we just, we had a blast listening to this teaching, going out, doing this, witnessing, bringing people back, all the time, all the time. My point is, our fellowships are very precious, and we should be a part of them all the time. I just wouldn't miss fellowships, no matter what. Okay, I'm off my box, soapbox here. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as seeing the day approaching. Man, I love it when Rachel was talking about the hope, man. It could be today, because it could be. So to live this lifestyle, why not? Why get sucked into this world crap all over, just this, that, and everything else going on? That's fine. Just put God first. Put God and His Word first. Put God, His Word, and the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life. Yeah, you got to deal with all that, but do it as a perspective from as a son of God. A son of God. Man, oh man. The practical thing is, we have the boldness to speak up before the Heavenly Father, right? We should not hesitate to go to our Father and talk to Him. Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. That's how it is. We don't need a priest to hold our hand and come, son, I will help you talk with God. No, we have it straightforward. If we really believe this, I mean, man, oh man, if we really believe this, think about the answers to prayer that we can have. Man, oh man, and God, in the manifestations, did God say, most of your prayers I'll answer? Most of your prayers? No, all of them. He said that in the manifestations. That's why we got to listen to those things. Just great. Okay, the last couple verses, chapter 4. I guess I'm getting a little excited today, and I don't know if I seem excited to you. But, you know, we had an opportunity to go to another wonderful fellowship, a church, and hear some great teaching and stuff, and just see people pour out their heart for God and to be their best. And, you know, man, there's a lot there I was thankful for. There's a couple things I wasn't too excited for. And what I am excited about is the integrity of God's Word, working the integrity of God's Word. So, boy, what we do is right according to the Word. When we minister healing, we're walking by the Spirit. We know by the name of Jesus Christ, if there's a need, God wants it taken care of with the authority of that name. God could talk to me, tell me what's going on if need be. If not, that still is available to heal that person in the name of Jesus Christ if they're believing. If I need to help them, talk with them, share some Word of God with them, do it, right? We do it. We do whatever it takes so people can walk in the deliverance of Jesus Christ. So that's why I'm excited, because I think we know God's Word pretty good, you know, pretty good. So, but that doesn't mean anything if we're not doing something with it, right? We got to do something with it. Okay, let's close out in these verses here. Verse 14. Did I tell you what chapter yet? 14, verse 4. Chapter 4. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Okay, here's the point. I shared with you out of God's word about the high priest. So do you have a little more appreciation now? As we read this verse, we're seeing we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast our confession. Well, what is our confession? Our confession is we're a son of God. We have been redeemed. We are sanctified. We are all that God says we are in Christ. That's who we are. We have been redeemed. He is our high priest. He cleared the way so that I can go before my heavenly Father and say, Abba, Abba, Father, Father. Man, oh man. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus Christ went through some infirmities, didn't he? Boy, I'm thankful I don't have to go through what he did. The torture is beyond anything you could ever imagine. He went through that. Even some of these movies that try to portray it, they still fall short. So he could, he knows. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we were, yet what? Without sin. That's why he is the perfect Lord and Savior. That's why his blood is so precious. That's why. So, as a result of that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help to help in time of need. You know, we share this verse a lot, I think. You know, let's come boldly before the throne of grace and talk to the Father. Now, I hope in light of when we use this verse, you have a little deeper appreciation what it took for us to be able to come boldly before the throne of grace. Because with that understanding, we can believe even bigger and more. Okay? Man, oh man, God Almighty so loved us to put this all together so that we could have full and complete access to Him. Full and complete access to Him. It is legal and complete. It has been done for us so we can have that rest and assurance that our Father is with us 24/7. Our knowing this and confessing this and believing this brings us into the throne room of His love and mercy and grace. We can have great peace of mind. We can have answers to prayer. We can have physical wholeness. Why? Because we are in His presence. We are sanctified by His Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, and the perfect high priest. So, Heavenly Father, we are very, very thankful for the truth of Your word. As we learn these great